Hello, I'm here today with Kathy Perkins, the Director of Emergency Management for Pinellas County. Hi, Kathy. What are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about hurricane season because today's June 1st.
Awesome. Yeah, today is the official start of hurricane season. What's the most important thing we should know to do to be prepared today?
So there's three things we tell people every year that they need to know. They need to know their risk. They need to make a plan, and they need to stay informed.
You know, COVID-19 continues to affect every aspect of our lives. How has it changed the way we should prepare for hurricane season?
So most of our preparedness for hurricane season will remain the same, but there are a few differences that we're going to make here, both in emergency management and that we're going to ask everybody out in the public to do as well. From a perspective of you at home, you need to be thinking about what do you need to put in your hurricane kit. So as you're making your plan, making sure you have your hand sanitizer, making sure you have your masks if you're going to be sheltering with family or friends or going to a public shelter, having wipes to help clean up the areas. And in terms of our public shelters, you know, we're working on making sure that we have enough space so we can help people social distance when they come in. We're working on making sure that we have increased sanitation at all of those locations and making sure that we have supplies there in case people come in without having their own masks.
So if I was going to end up in a shelter this year during an evacuation, how would it be different from last year?
Well, the first thing we always tell people is try to make arrangements with family or friends. And that's going back to knowing your risk. You need to know, do I have to evacuate? So do you live in an area that's prone to storm surge? Do you live in a mobile or a manufactured home? Are you a person that has special needs or maybe electric dependent and may have to be evacuated for storms that are coming in? And then once you know where you're going to go, if you do need to go to a public shelter, what will be different is we'll do a temperature screening when people come in. We'll make sure that everybody has their mask when they come into the location. We're actually going to be work on assigning people to different rooms so that way we can maintain the proper distancing for all the people that are coming in. We'll be doing increased sanitation. We'll have the hand sanitizer throughout the shelter, hand sanitation stations. So we'll be making sure that we can maintain that safety. And for anybody that may be COVID positive when we call for an evacuation order, you know, we'll be asking them, can you shelter or isolate safely in your home or some another location? If not, then we'll be looking at having some non-congregate sites to be able to put people in so we can safely isolate them during the storm.
That all sounds great. You know, we're talking about COVID-19 and it's already affecting some of our most vulnerable residents. How are you keeping them in mind during hurricane season?
Well, every year we always encourage people to sign up for our special needs registry. So whether you need specialized transportation to help you with evacuation, or you have a medical need, or you need to come in with a caretaker, we have a special needs program that you can sign up for. We help coordinate transportation. We help identify the shelter that you'll go to. And we also look to have supplemental staff to be there to help you with your needs, along with your caretaker that comes with you. The other thing is, you know, we have to look at how people have been impacted economically because of COVID-19. So we're working very closely with our amazing feeding partners in the community to try to help make sure that we've got additional supplies and things available to help people with their hurricane kits as they're doing preparedness in case a storm does come.
You know, you're talking about the most vulnerable residents. And I'm just wondering, what are some things that they should have or we should all have in our hurricane kit?
So everybody wants to plan for the essentials. You want to have at least a gallon of water per person per day. You want to have those non-perishable food items so that way they don't go bad in case you lose your electricity. You definitely want to make sure that if you have medications, you get that supply. And when a state of emergency is declared at the state level, we'll open it up so you can get a refill on your 30-day subscription, even if you just fulfilled it. This year, we're going to ask people to put those sanitation wipes and hand wipes and Clorox cleaners in your kit if you can get them. We always encourage people to have a weather radio or also have flashlight and batteries in case the power goes out. Have a solar charger for your cell phones. Have your important documents. And, you know, you can download all the information for what you need from our online site or through Ready Pinellas. Gives you information on all the types of things you should have in your kit. And also, if you have kids, you have to think about what you want to have in the kit for them. And if you have pets, you want to make sure that you're prepared for them as well.
Is now a good time to start preparing my hurricane kit, or should I just wait till a hurricane is on its path towards us?
No, you don't want to wait till the storm is coming. Definitely now is a great time to do it, especially with the tax holiday that goes through June 4th. And we always encourage people, look at what you still have left over from last year. You know, you probably have to change out your batteries from last year. The water that you had, you might need to get new water. You know, some of those canned goods or non-perishables may still be good, or maybe you ate them already. So you want to make sure that you assess what you have, determine what your needs are for your family or your family members, and then, go about making your kit. If you can't put it all together at one time, do a piecemeal. Look at what you need to have. Work with your neighbors or your friends. If you're going to be sheltering with other people, how can you create a kit together? Maybe one person belongs to a bulk buying club and they can get things in bulk. If you're going to be doing a sheltering location, either at a church or a business that might have an appropriate building, how can you all work together for the supplies that you need? We know that, some of those supplies might still be a little bit scarce on the shelves. So just take your time, and as you find those items, put them in your kit.
Yeah, so coming together as a community is going to be really vitally important in all aspects of hurricane preparedness, from building your kit to just sheltering.
Yeah, and I say that's one of the silver linings that we saw from COVID-19, is that we saw such a great outpouring from so many different community organizations, our private nonprofits, our faith-based, so many of our feeding partners, just working with our healthcare professionals, and even just looking at next door. So a lot of people have come together, they've offered other people assistance, and that's really what we need to do as we continue through hurricane season. There may be people that still need masks. There may be people that need assistance with getting their hurricane kits together. So I really want to encourage people to continue that kind of partnership and collaboration and working together. If you can open up your home to other people safely to come in and shelter with you, that's an excellent idea. And like I said, if you're a business or a church and you have a building that will be safe for people to shelter in during a storm, we ask that you consider that, because that will really help us with social distancing.
Definitely. I know you mentioned knowing your risk was one of the three things that people should know to be prepared. What's the difference between an evacuation zone and a flood zone? Are those part of those risks?
Absolutely. So evacuation zones are the areas where the storm surge is likely to come in from the storm. So as a hurricane is coming towards the shore, we'll push up a wall of water up into our community. So we have models that tell us where we think that storm surge is going to be. And that's what those evacuation zones are for. The difference with the FEMA flood zones, that's based more on rainfall and where flooding can occur, either from a heavy downpour or rain that happens over several days, like we just saw in South Florida just last week. So it's really important that people understand the difference between the two of them. And you may live in both, or you may be in one or the other. And it's important for people to understand that as well, because flood insurance policies will cover both flooding from rainfall and also for storm surge. So you might not live in a FEMA flood zone, so you think, maybe I don't need to have flood insurance. But if you do live in a storm surge zone, you should have that flood insurance to help protect you in case you have storm surge inundation in your home.
What are some other things people should do to harden their homes?
So you can look at impact windows or shutters or any type of window covering. If you're going to use plywood, you want to make sure that you get that early, you measure that, you have that all ready to go, because that can be quite cumbersome and you don't want to be on a ladder when the winds start getting high. You could have garage door, you can protect your garage door, your regular doors, for mitigation for your roof. You can think about having a backup generator, either a whole house generator or even just getting a generator from one of our stores, so that way you can have your refrigerator or maybe some fans continuing to go if we do have power outages. You want to look at the exterior of your home. Tree trimming is a great thing to do. Trees can actually cause a lot of damage, either by them coming down and hitting things or pulling up underground utilities. So having proper tree trimming can help your tree stay in place and reduce the amount of tree debris that we have for an event.
You mentioned that tree trimming. Should I just go up there and trim my trees myself, or are there people that are licensed to do that? What's the best way to go about that?
So we would recommend you get a certified arborist, someone that is familiar with trees and can do that properly. You want to make sure that you don't over trim the tree and damage it, so that way, you know, it dies later on. So it really is important to look at that. You also want to make sure that you're not out there trimming a tree that's next to a power line.
Very smart. I just wanted to take a second and remind any of our viewers, if they have questions, to feel free to put them in the comments, and we can answer any questions that pop up that are within the topics. So we talked about the difference between an evacuation zone and a flood zone. And I know there's many things that we've talked about in this even kind of short period of time. What's one major thing that I should remember? If I forget literally everything you've just told me, what should I remember?
I want you to stay informed. So I want you to be able to get access to information real time. So one of the best ways to do that is to sign up for Alert Pinellas. We'll actually send alerts right to your phone. It's really important that people are getting information from a verified source. So whether you're looking in media or you're getting the information right to your phone from Alert Pinellas, it'll give you the latest information in terms of who we're asking to evacuate, where we're recommending they go, what is the timing of that storm. You know, we really want people to make those plans, but you know, if you're not paying attention and then the storm catches you off guard, it doesn't do you any good. So that staying informed component is really critical.
Definitely. You mentioned Alert Pinellas. Are there any other ways that we should stay informed? I think you also mentioned a weather radio. What do you recommend?
Yeah, NOAA weather radio is great, especially because once power goes out, if it's battery operated, you'll still get those notifications via that radio. You know, and if you don't have a radio and you don't have a cell phone, can't sign up for Alert Pinellas, you know, talk to like your church group or join a neighborhood group so you can help keep each other informed. You know, making sure like the media, like I said, you know, tuning into your favorite station to try to get the latest information. You can also sign up for a Ready Pinellas app that can give you information, and we're looking to do push notifications to that app. So as a storm is coming, we can help inform people real time of what's going on.
That sounds great. Make sure that I'll have that on my phone. We talked a little bit about home preparedness. What if I'm a renter? What are some things that I should have? Should I have a stay kit or a go kit? And can you explain the difference?
So regardless of whether you're a renter or a homeowner, part of that knowing your risk is knowing whether or not you might have to evacuate. So having a go kit would be as if you did have to evacuate, what are those things that you would need to have with you, especially if you're staying with family or friends or even in a public shelter, you know, having your basic supplies in your kit, sleeping materials, and then your stay kit is the same type of thing. You want to have food and water for 7 days. You also want to be thinking about, if you're staying in your home post-event, what you might need after the storm to be able to help you, whether it's having tarps to be able to cover your roofs if you had roof damage, you know, having a big bucket of water to help you flush the toilet, you know, having potable water, filling your bathtub with water so that way you've got some additional water that you might be able to utilize. You want to be thinking about all those things. And one of the things that, whether you're a renter or a homeowner as well, you want to now be looking at your home, your policies for insurance. You know, what are you covered? So a lot of times renters don't think about that, but renters can get flood insurance and also insure their belongings as well. And if you're a renter, you really do want to talk with your landlord in terms of what is the plan for the complex that you live in. You know, do they have mitigation materials? Are they going to cover the windows? Really understanding what they'll be doing and what your responsibilities are is really important.
That sounds like great information. I know we have a huge beach community here. Is there anything specific our beach residents should know?
So we, you know, again, it's knowing your zone, and a lot of our barrier islands are those high risk areas for storm surge. And sometimes we have people that may live on a higher floor and they think, oh, the storm surge isn't going to impact me. You're right. The storm surge might not end up in your particular unit, but it is going to impact your building. And a lot of times we see that the electrical units and the elevator units, everything is on the ground floor or sometimes below ground. That's going to be impacted by the storm surge coming in. You have to understand that the law enforcement and first responders that, you know, help that community have been evacuated from those areas is there. It'd be very difficult for us to be able to get back in to that community to help people. So I don't want people that live on a barrier island, just because they live on a higher floor, to think that they're safe. You know, we evacuate because there is that risk of storm surge.
So really heeding those evacuation orders are going to be key to keep people safe.
Yeah, you know, regardless of if you're in a mobile home or you're electric dependent or live in an evacuation zone, you know, we give those orders because we want to try to minimize the loss of life. That's the thing that we cannot replace. We can't replace our lives. So we want to make sure that, you know, people are paying attention, they know their risk, they're staying informed. And if we do issue that evacuation order, that they do heed that order in a timely manner and then get to their safe place before the conditions start to deteriorate.
And that must be a huge determination that you have to make along with our county leaders to decide to evacuate. It's not something you take lightly.
No, not at all. You know, we monitor every storm that starts to come our direction. You know, last year for Hurricane Dorian, we activated for 10 days and we constantly monitored that storm. You know, even though it was in the Atlantic and it was far away from us, we always have to look at how big a storm is. What are the local impacts that we could potentially have? You know, you don't have to be in the eye of the storm. You don't have to be in that proverbial cone of death to have impacts. You can have a lot of rain. So we just saw this in South Florida with the system that became Bertha, is that the system started to draw in a lot of atmospheric moisture. So it caused a lot of rain, even though South Florida was hundreds of miles away from where Bertha eventually formed. These are all risks that we have to look at. We look at high tide. We look at how much rain. We look at the ground saturation before a storm comes in. So we have to be thinking about those things as we're looking at storms. So we know what the local impacts are so we can direct people what to do to keep themselves safe.
That's great. I want to go back in case anybody's missed it and talk a little bit about how sheltering is going to be different this year. Can you go over that again? What would it be like if I'm having to go into a congregate shelter? I don't have any other choice. What's going to be different than if I had evacuated for Irma?
So if you have to go to a public shelter, we will do temperature checks of everybody that's coming in and do screening to try to make sure that, you know, we don't have people that are symptomatic or have COVID-19 or coming in to these congregate sites. We are going to ask that everybody have masks. We will assign people to rooms. So we're looking to make sure that we keep our social distancing in those rooms. That's something new this year. We didn't used to do that. We're going to do increased sanitation, having the cleaning crews come in more often, especially in the bathroom areas and any congregate areas in there. We're going to have staff that's wearing PPE as well. We want to make sure that we're keeping everybody safe as they come in there. And anybody that is positive for COVID-19, as an evacuation order is issued, we want to make sure that we also have alternate facilities for them to be able to go to.
Sounds great. I want to talk about when, after a storm has passed, what should you know? What should you be prepared for? I'm thinking, you know, traffic wise, what's that going to look like?
Well, it really depends on the magnitude of storm of what it's going to look like in our community. So the one thing that we do ask everybody is, you know, immediately after the storm, don't rush out, don't get in your car, don't drive around. You know, we need to be able to get out and assess the damages. We need to clear the roads. We need to move those down power lines. There can be a lot of hazards that are out there. You know, a lot of the deaths that happen in relation to a hurricane happen post-storm, whether it's somebody that inadvertently steps on a charged power line or they're driving through an intersection and they're not heeding it as a four-way stop. People have heart attacks because they're out there trying to move a lot of heavy debris. So it's really important. Give us time to make sure that we can go out there, assess the community. We have to get the emergency routes to the hospitals open. We want to make sure that we start to get some of our basic infrastructure set back up. We want to make sure that we can get fire rescue and law enforcement able to respond to our emergent needs after the event. So, you know, just take your time. And then the other thing is for the homeowner or whatever, or the renter, you want to make sure that you assess, you know, your home after the storm. So hopefully pre-storm you went through, you did an assessment, you took pictures, and now you can document any damages that occurred. So then you can report that to your insurance company. We'll be sending out damage assessment crews to kind of look at what the impacts were in the community. And if we have areas that have really been damaged or destroyed and need additional assistance, we have to look at, do we need to open up other sheltering? Are there people that maybe didn't evacuate, then now we need to find alternate arrangements for them? So there's a lot of activities that happen post-storm. And we will issue the all clear, but we're going to ask people to please, you know, stay home, stay safe until we can get that basic road clearance and checking on critical infrastructure done first.
That's really important information to know. Make sure that we're not rushing out right before or right after a storm. So is there anything else that you'd like to add about hurricane season or preparedness in this kickoff today?
Yeah, I just don't want people to panic. So I know a lot of people focus on how many storms there's potentially going to be for the season. I always say the only one that matters is the one that impacts your community. Take your time to make your plan and put it together. Work with family or friends or your employer or churches. You know, let's all come together and help one another. If you need assistance, make sure, you know, you let somebody know. If you need to sign up for our special needs registry, please do so. So we can identify who has what needs. We can identify the transportation. We can help get staffing in. You know, we'll continue to work with people. Sign up for Alert Pinellas. Put the Ready Pinellas app on your phone. Make sure that you stay informed as the hurricane season unfolds. You know, there may be different planning mechanisms and considerations that we have to put into place as we navigate through COVID-19. So, you know, maybe there'll be a vaccine before hurricane season is over, which would be great. So, you know, but, you know, there may be changes in our processes. We may be asking different people to evacuate. So it's really important that people stay informed so they can get the latest and greatest information.
If I'm a short-term renter or maybe even a visitor to our beautiful county, what should I know about hurricane season? Or maybe I just moved here this past year. What are some basic things we should know?
So if you're a visitor to our community, thank you so much for coming. But we do want you to go back home before the hurricane comes. We want you to have your memories of Pinellas County be really happy ones. So you want to come back and visit us again. You know, we want to help get you out of harm's way. So that's really important. You know, you're checking your airline or, you know, knowing that you can, you know, exit the county and go back home safely so you don't get stranded here locally. If you're new to the community, so there's a lot of resources that are available on our PinellasCounty.org website, or you can download the Ready Pinellas app. It'll help you make a kit. It'll tell you all the things you need to know. It also gives you information on where you can look up if you're in an evacuation zone or not. We're looking to add information to our lookup as well, so you can learn more about the year that your home was built. And the property appraiser's information also has information about if your home has been mitigated. Those are all good things to know, so you can determine, can I shelter in place here? You know, don't be scared of hurricanes. The nice thing about a hurricane is you can see them coming, so it gives us time to prepare. But, you know, so go through the three steps. So you want to know your risk, you want to make your plan, and then you want to stay informed. And if you have those things ready before a storm comes, it'll give you some peace of mind. So that way you know exactly what you need to know when an evacuation order is issued.
We have one question from the comments. Is there anything people should know about sandbags? Are they a good thing to use? Where should they go for sandbags? Is that information going to come out as a storm comes our way? Can you explain sandbags a little bit?
So communities may offer sandbags. So I'm just going to tell people, so for storm surge, if you're looking at a wall of water coming towards your home, a sandbag isn't going to be very effective. Sandbags work better for localized flooding. So, and you really have to have enough sandbags to be able to block off. Like if you're trying to do your doorway, you have to build that out correctly. Two sandbags may not help you. So, you know, they may become available, or those are things that you can buy. There's also other flood mitigation products that people can get. So people have to kind of determine what is best for them. Again, if you're in a storm surge area, putting a few sandbags in front of your door isn't really going to help you.
Good to know. Another question we had is about pet shelters. How many pets can I take to a pet shelter if I have 7, 8, 10 dogs? Is that okay? Can I bring them in? What about a snake or a parakeet?
So we do shelter for cats and dogs. You know, I would recommend that, you know, if you could find somebody that's willing to host you and your 10 dogs, you know, try to do so. But the pet shelters are available for cats and dogs. If you have other types of animals, whether it be a large animal like a horse or any type of exotic animals, you do need to try to make arrangements and find somebody to help you with that, find somebody you can shelter with, or maybe they'd be willing to take your pet. And maybe then you go to a shelter. So the pet shelters are there for people that need them. Really important that you also put together your pet kit, whether you're staying at home or if you are evacuating.
And when we're thinking about putting together a kit, whether it's just for us or for us and our pets, how long should we think about? A month? 3 days?
So we recommend 7 days for all of the hurricane kits for your supplies. You know, again, depending upon the magnitude of the storm, it might be a little bit of time before we can start to get things back open again, get supplies out to people. You know, so if you start 3 days before the storm with your sheltering, that'll take you a couple of days after the storm as well. So 7 days is really the best type of time frame to plan for.
Awesome. Is there anything else that you'd like to add? I don't see any more questions at this time.
I just don't want people to panic. I know we've got COVID-19 and now we're going into hurricane season. There's basic precautions we can take for both. You know, start putting your kits together piece by piece if you can. Take advantage of the tax holiday if you can. If you need additional information, don't hesitate to reach out to us at our office. Call our phone number. Look for the hurricane guide. It'll be posted online soon. We're working on the English and the Spanish and the Vietnamese translations for this as well. If you have questions, certainly call us and just know that we're here for you. You know, if you need help, reach out now so that way we can help find the resources that you need to help you.
Well, thank you so much, Kathy, for taking time out of your, I imagine, very busy day with the kickoff of hurricane season. Really appreciate you talking with us and all of our Facebook followers.
My pleasure.